Joining us now, the director of golf down at Sea Island Resort, where they hold the RSM Classic, Brennan Veal joins us. Brennan, welcome into the golf shop.
Thanks for having me.
All right, so I'm throwing it right out there.
Uh-oh.
Kevin Kisner, 2 bogeys, 22 birdies, and an eagle last year. I mean, 2 bogeys over the entire tournament. The course isn't that easy.
No, Kevin played obviously extremely well and was the lowest score that we've had for a winner. You know, normally it's been right around 14 or 15 under, and Kevin sort of blew that out of the water. So he had a fantastic week, and not too bad for being a Georgia guy either.
Yeah, now how does it, you know, we've had unseasonably warm weather here this early part of the fall. Has that changed the way you guys are going about preparations from an agronomy standpoint? Can the players expect anything different since we haven't really had much cold?
No, for us, you know, it's overseeded, so it's the weather's actually been really good to grow the grass in, and we've got the greens rolling really nice right now. So it'll be a little bit firmer and than it has been in the past. You know, we're only, what are we now, three or four weeks removed from our little hurricane that we had down here. But we were lucky to sustain, you know, not very much damage at all. And the golf courses are just fantastic.
And so when the PGA comes in to set up the course, do you know right away if they're in a bad mood and, like, how hard they want to make it?
It's funny. The tour is, now that we've done it for so many years, they kind of know what to expect. And you know, Davis has a lot of input into how the golf course is set up, not unlike the Ryder Cup. And so, you know, if you look at the Ryder Cup, there wasn't a whole lot of rough at the Ryder Cup, and Davis doesn't like a whole lot of rough. He likes low scores, and so we get a little bit of rough out there, but it's nothing crazy. No U.S. Open stuff.
Brennan, when you look at the kind of the past winners and the runners-up, the list kind of jumps out at you that you really don't see guys that are bombers of the golf ball. Is this more of a kind of plan it out, hit the ball in the right spots off the tee, have a good iron game, and roll the rock?
Well, it really is. I mean, it's a 7,000-yard golf course on Seaside. You know, it's a par 70, but it's still, it's, for these guys, it's, I wouldn't say it's a pitch and putt, but it is. They don't have to hit driver on every hole. They can hit 3 woods. A lot of them can hit hybrids. You know, there's number 10 is a 430-yard hole that a lot of guys are hitting 2 irons off of. And the old adage that the PGA Tour uses that, man, these guys are good, it really is. It's phenomenal to, when you get to see them in person and kind of watch, even on one hole, you'll kind of watch, and they all sort of hit it in the same spot. Like out in the fairway, they all sort of end up in the same place, and then they know exactly what they want to hit in from there. And then it really becomes, for us, it's much more about the greens and the runoff areas, the chipping swells that really dictate the scoring. So if we can get firm greens and get the speeds up, then that's what really becomes, beyond the wind, the defense of the golf course.
So it's not a course that a player can come in and sort of dominate the course. They need to manage the course, manage their play well. And as I suppose as you look out there at the guys you're expecting in your field and guys who played in the past, who are you looking at right now who seems well-suited to manage 4 days of golf out there at Sea Island?
Well, it's really hard to say. I mean, we've got a good field we were looking at today. And if you just get sort of our guys that are sort of Sea Island guys, you end up with a pretty good field. Yeah, you got Matt Kuchar and Zach Johnson and Davis and Brant Snedeker, and yeah, so you've got some really, really good players. Chris Kirk will be playing. Chris won a couple of years ago, so really it turns into just kind of who's feeling it. And as you said earlier, it's who's rolling the rock. You know, you got to make putts on the PGA Tour to even have a chance of winning. And so, you know, if you don't hit a bunch of foul balls and you can keep it in the fairway and you can get it on the green and then make some putts, that's the name of the game.
You just mentioned a list of guys that are from there that are playing in the golf tournament. How do these guys manage the home game? I mean, obviously Davis Love is the host right down there. He just kind of came back and played his first competitive rounds for the year after having some surgery. So how do these guys manage the home game?
Yeah, I think it's tough. I mean, Davis obviously has done it for many years and kind of knows how to plan everything out. But there's an awful lot of charge for his time that people want, and they're they want a piece of it. And Zach Johnson, sort of the same way. He's with RSM, so he has to spend a lot of time outside of the golf course as well. But it's funny, you know, if you watch these guys, they have a pattern. They know what they're going to do. They get there at a certain time before their round. They do the same thing. They play, and then they get done, and they do the same thing. And then everything else after that is sort of, you know, their normal world. So they manage it very well. And I don't know if there's any added pressure. I think they do, you know, they do it for a living. So they probably don't feel the same way I do when I step up on a first tee and someone's watching. But and they probably do it a little bit better.
Yeah, I mean, the NASCAR drivers, you know, all around here in Charlotte, they like the home game because they like to sleep in their own beds. But they also go into it knowing that there's going to be added pressure and more family and things like that and responsibilities. I think for most of them, that sleeping in their own bed and being in a comfortable home environment trumps anything else that the pressures that they might feel by playing at home.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think, you know, that's sort of the reason that the RVs and the buses sort of became a big thing for a while, because they felt like even if they went on the road, they could still stay somewhere that felt like home. So I think that's a big deal to be able to stay at your own house and sleep in your own bed.
All right, well, we're on with Brandon Veal from down at Sea Island Resort. He's the director of golf, and I want to look at your scorecard a little bit. And, you know, for folks who are watching on TV or maybe aren't familiar, where can we expect to see players make big gains and score well? And then everybody around here knows I like the carnage. Where can we look for guys to fall apart?
Well, you know, Davis had a chance 2 years ago. He was in second place, and number 16 is one of our signature holes. It's a par four where you have to carry a big tidal creek, and the more left you go, the more you have to carry. So it's sort of, you can bite off as much as you want, and depending upon the wind, it can be a big factor there. And of course, he dumped it in the water there and made double and sort of fell out of the lead. So that's certainly one place. And then number 18 is a 480 yard par four. So it can reach up and bite you with all the fans that are sitting there as well. And beyond that, 13, 14 out in that area or out on the water, they're very open. They're very, can get windy and all sorts of different things that can bring all of that into play and just make it very, very difficult. So, you know, there's scoring opportunities, and then there's carnage. There's only two par fives, and they both go the same. They're basically parallel. So if it's downwind, you're going to see a very good scoring. If it's into the wind, then, you know, then it can be a little bit tougher scoring on those two holes.
You know, with this golf course kind of being set out in, I guess on the coast and the marsh areas, is it tough sometimes to get some depth perception with the backdrops that you have out there when you're hitting shots?
It can be. I tell you what's tough is there's no consistent wind. So, you know, people ask all the time, all right, where does your wind come from? And today it can be blowing from the north, tomorrow it can be blowing from the south, the next day from the east, and the next day from the west. And that's what makes the golf courses so much fun, is it is different almost on a daily basis. And the four par threes on Seaside all go in different directions. So there's one northeast, south, and west. And so, you know, depending upon the wind, you're going to play them all differently. So the depth perception is not as big of a deal as you might think. But for some, it may end up being an issue.
Yeah. You know, I've played the ocean course down at Kiowa several times, and it seems like you get out there amongst the dunes and sometimes there's not an area where, you know, there's no backdrop, there's no trees behind the green. There's really nothing to aim at. You're just kind of, you know, maybe picking a cloud and hitting at it sometimes. So I didn't know if that was the case out there, but it does seem like it's a very, a nice combination of, you know, of different shots, different types of holes going different directions. It's a good mix, isn't it? I mean, it just from looking at the scorecard, looks like a nice mix of holes. And like you said, it keeps everybody guessing day to day on how the holes are going to play.
Yeah, no, it is. It's a very fun golf course to play, and you've got holes where you know that are longer par fours. You've got shorter par fours. You've got shorter par threes, and you know, longer par threes that can eat you up. I mean, I've had on number 12, if the wind's blowing, I've hit driver and I've hit 7-iron. So it's, you know, just a completely different golf hole depending upon the wind. But it is. It's just a fun golf course to play. And the chipping swells, and that's probably part of the reason, too, why the depth perception is not as bad, is because most of the greens are up in the air. or there are some trees, you know, around them in some areas to kind of give you that perception. So it's just a fun golf course to play overall.
All right, Brandon, before we turn our attention to what goes on at the practice facility, because we have a couple of questions about that, what score would you sit on Sunday afternoon and think, okay, I'm safe here, I can chug a few beers?
Well, I would 25 under, I would sit on that and chug a lot of beers.
At 25, it's Jaeger shots. Okay, all right, that's safe.
I would say, you know, I would feel pretty good at 17.
Okay.
Yeah, compared to 22.
That would have lost last year.
Right, but that would have been second place in last year, and seems like a competitive number normally, except for Kevin last year.
Yeah, Kevin was playing out of his mind, so.
He was in the due theory, I think, at that point. He was due to win a golf tournament, right?
Yeah, he was. He was very due, and it was great to, you know, he married a local girl here, so we consider him local.
Oh, he's almost like family.
Exactly.
Even though
especially
he is from South
Carolina. Then he really became like family.
Even though he is from South Carolina.
All right, well, I'm curious what you're seeing from your guests who come out and look for lessons and things like that. Everybody wants more distance. We all know everybody should really be trying to shave strokes. If you had an ideal balance between working with someone at the practice facility and actually taking them out and managing a round of golf with them, how would you balance that time with a student?
Well, if you have that time is kind of the key.
Right.
I'll tell you, one of the things we do is we love even a, you know, a 20, 30 handicap, whatever it is, if we can get stats from them, you know, just tell us how many fairways did you hit? How many greens did you, how many putts did you make? How many up and downs? And then you really can start working on, you know, you don't need another driver to get another 5 yards. You really need to work on putting because you had 41 putts. That's
right.
You know, that's the first place to go. And you can't get it out of the sand. You're 0 for 20 out of the sand. That's where we need to work on that because we can cut shots off immediately if we can get you more comfortable with that.
So a high handicapper who comes to you and you don't have time to go out and play the course with them, if they're accustomed to using wearables and they know, so and they can track for you, show you some actual data, is that just as good almost?
Well, it's the next best thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's obvious. We do some playing lessons, and we love going out to play and actually seeing the game in action where you can see, all right, here are some real areas that we feel we can make some improvements fairly quickly. And then some of that may be your clubs aren't any good. You know, they're just not made for you. They may be the most expensive set in the world, but they're just not fit for you. And your wedges aren't good. They've got the wrong bounce on them. You know, they're digging when you need it to be bouncing, and you're losing shots all over the place. So, yeah, we definitely want to go out on the golf course. It's just not always that you're able to do that.
All right, last question before we let you go. We're about almost a year into the anchoring ban for putters. Have you seen any residual effect from this? I mean, people complaining that they're not putting anywhere near as good as they used to or not having the option. I mean, what's the feel out there from a resort course standpoint?
Well, and, you know, we've got a big membership, too. And
oh, yeah.
So that's
certainly.
My biggest fear is, and we were just talking about this today, because you still got Bernhard Langer doing it. You still got a couple of other guys on the senior tour doing it where they're holding it really close to their chest.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just off. And so the ruling, you know, I'm waiting on one of my club members to call on their opponent that, it touched his shirt. So he, you know, had it anchored. Oh, man. But, I hadn't heard a whole lot about it. I really hadn't. I've got a few of our members that use long putter that anchored that, you know, were belly aching about it a little bit, but it seems to have kind of gone by the wayside. Whether I agree with it or not really doesn't matter, but I hadn't heard a whole lot about it.
All right. Well, Brandon, man, we always appreciate you hopping on with us and giving us the lowdown of the RSM. So look forward to you having a great week out there, and good luck with the tournament.
Thanks much, guys, and thanks as always for having me.
All right. Thanks a lot.